Go Strategic is pleased to present the Worldview Series panel discussion.
Hello, I'm Catherine Gallagher, the Executive Director of Go Strategic, and joining me today is my father, Dennis Peacock, the founder of Go Strategic, and my brother, Adam Peacock, the co-founder of our Worldview School. Today, we are going to be looking at issues surrounding worldview, why what we believe is so important, whether it's unconsciously or consciously, the choices that we make, the underlying beliefs, the presuppositions in our heart affect our lives and our daily decisions. Our goal in this series is for you to better understand your faith in everyday life and how your worldview affects your choices. We're going to be talking today about some of the reasons why it's so important for us to understand worldview, what it is, what is this word worldview, what does it mean, and why does it matter to me? Everyone puts their faith in something. The question is not, are you a Christian? Are you not a Christian? Everyone lives by faith. The question is not whether or not you have faith, but what faith? What faith do you live by? All of us have to ask the important questions of life. And today we're going to be diving into some of those important questions and why they matter and how they affect how we live. So, gentlemen, let's talk about worldview. What is worldview, first of all? That word means nothing to quite a few people and means a lot of different things to different people. So, what is worldview? How are we defining worldview? If you can kind of explain what it is, why it matters.
So I think when we're talking about worldview, one of the things that's important for us to consider is the fact that everyone has a worldview. And so this really isn't us trying to convince people, hey, you should have a worldview. It's really inviting people into this journey of getting more consistent with the way they see the world, this sense of the cohesion of the world that God's created, and understanding from a biblical point of view, the framework of what the gospel means, how it applies to all of life, but also how the different issues that we're facing, many of which aren't talked about directly in the Bible, how we can take biblical truth and understand how to think more about those items. So in a simple way, you could say the worldview is how you see the world. But most of us are not that consistent in our worldview. We've got a lot of things we're indifferent to, haven't really thought through or cared about. And that's why this journey is so important, because the things that we're not conscious of, if we're not allowing God to frame how we think about those things, someone else is. Some other value is, some other faith is present in that way. And that's part of just the whole journey of our life with God, is that God wants all of our life. He wants all of our heart and soul and mind and strength. And so it's not just our morality. It's our personality. It's our attitudes. It's our work. And so worldview is a way of describing that holistic perspective of the world and then our place in the world and the impact that we have.
I want to remind us that worldview is what determines the way the people that manage the planet operate. As you two know very well, my journey into worldview started about 55 years ago in the context of studying what the great minds, so-called, of history and the ideas that they have brought into the public discussion. A nation is run by the worldview of its leaders. The predominant worldview is what affects all of us in the social dimension. And I know in this discussion, we're primarily dealing with personal worldview, but ultimately worldview is the organized management of the forces that control culture. Well, worldview in the personal context is the gathering of the ideas which I believe to be real about the nature of reality. Although the point being made, while everybody has a worldview, not that many people are aware of what their worldview is. But ultimately, our worldview begins with the question of, is there a God? Is there objectivity? And how do I align myself with what God requires of me. And I know you know that well.
So when we use some of these big words that seem to come up here with worldview and your beliefs and presuppositions, and this sounds like a complicated philosophy class. I'm not a pastor. I'm not going to major in psychology. Why do I need to understand what you're talking about? How does this actually apply to me? I hear a lot of big words, and I know Jesus loves me, so why does what you're saying really matter to my life?
So I think I like to use the word invitation in this process that, you know, when Jesus says, come follow me, right? There's a command there, but there's that invitation as well. And, you know, ultimately, I really believe that God, he wants to bring us into a fullness of life. And that involves some of the freedom that comes with growing in relationship with him, growing in understanding of the world that God's created, but also growing in love of others. I think that's a huge part of this. You know, from a standpoint of evangelism, it's really interesting to me that however accurate it is, whether it's an excuse or not, one of the things that comes up a lot when people are asked about, you know, why they don't believe Christianity is true or what bugs them, you know, would keep them away from the church or Christians or those sorts of things. One of the things that comes up a lot is hypocrisy. And I think that while there are just choices that are made around hypocrisy, you know, moral issues and those sorts of things, one of the elements that really is part of that journey is the fact that many times we're living unexamined lives. We haven't really opened up the whole of our lives to the gospel. Sometimes that hypocrisy is just doing things the way the world does it because we haven't really examined what's God's heart for that area of our lives. And we're seeing this play out in our culture in areas where the church hasn't necessarily got hundreds of years of theology or books around it, right? So that's why worldview is so important because, you know, we're not offering a course that's, you know, teaching you what to think about everything for, you know, $99.95. This is an invitation into a journey of learning how to think biblically so that in my life, you know, I've got my youngest daughter can't wrap her mind around the fact that there wasn't social media when I was her age, right? This is a world dominating phenomenon that is really new. When I was first engaging with worldview, there was no Facebook, there was no social media, and yet that's huge. And when we look at, okay, well, parents are trying to figure out, you know, how do we manage this in a right way with our kids? And so some of that can be behavioral, but how does this relate to the nature of God? How does this relate to the nature of man? How does it impact relationship, you know, at its heart? And I'm not an expert in social media, but it's a transactional framework. It takes relationship in many ways and it makes it distant. And, you know, there's people who make their living off of likes and off of followers. And it's a whole relational framework that is a commoditization, right, of relationship. And so I'm not saying social media is evil. There's other people who might say that. I'm not saying we can't be involved in it. I'm not saying it can't be used for the kingdom of God. What I am saying is if we understand some of those dynamics, then it helps us as individuals to understand how to relate to it and how to use it and interact with it better. It helps parents in understanding how to engage with it with their kids. And if they're able to engage with their kids, kind of diving into the presuppositions behind it, then hopefully it's not just because I said so. Right? There's that element where there's understanding about God's heart for people and for relationship and where those values really lie. So I think that's just one of many examples where this really does apply to all of life. And it's really an invitation to grow as people, not just to fill our head with a bunch of knowledge.
I'd like to take us down, I think, to the simplest level. And I would open this or reopen this conversation by saying ideas have consequences. And worldview is all about really answering the question, what kind of life do I want to live? What do I expect from life? And what kinds of ideas are going to allow me to live the kind of a life that I want to live? Worldview ultimately is the direction by which we find answers to what it is we want to see happen in our lives. It's really that simple.
So the reality is the questions that we're asking, the ideas that we're discussing here today, really do apply to everyone. We are all slaves to our thoughts and our beliefs, whether or not we're conscious of it or not. Whether we clearly know what we believe, it's still affecting how we live. All of our underlying perceptions, perspectives, presuppositions, underlying thoughts, they all form our beliefs, which in turn shape our conviction, which in turn solidifies our habits and our lifestyle. So what we believe, whether we've taken time to evaluate it or not, still directly affects how we live, our habits, everything that we do, how we perceive others, our relationship. So in that sense, I would say it's vital that we take the time to evaluate and look at, what do I really believe? What's going on in my heart? What is underneath this attitude I may have towards something, or my decision-making process, or how I view my job, or how I view my family? All those things come back to these underlying beliefs that I think all too often we don't take the time to look at, to evaluate. And that's how I think we end up with these compartmentalized lives, because we've given certain parts of our life over to God, or we've taken the time to evaluate certain parts of our life, but we haven't evaluated the others. And so we end up disjointed. That leads me to my next question. Can you be a Christian and not have a Christian worldview?
You not only can, there are millions of Christians who have been trained, not trained by their parents in terms of worldview, maybe not trained by pastors or in the church worldview. I mean, let's be real. Worldview is a word, a concept that hardly was in the culture, the Christian culture and beyond that, until the last maybe 20 years. And I think I would know. I've been running around the world trying to find where are the people that are bringing Christian worldview into a place of reality that the average Christian can stop in their tracks and say, what is my worldview? I mean, I may believe in the Bible, but believing in the Bible is not having a worldview unless you've examined what are the major ideas that are in the Bible and how do I appropriate those ideas and begin to live in them.
You absolutely can be a Christian and not have a Christian worldview. And, developing a Christian worldview is kind of like being a disciple of Jesus. You know, it's a lifelong process of being formed to look more like Jesus. It's the same process as our character being formed and our attitudes being formed. And so you absolutely can. I think that, you know, our encouragement to people in regards to leaning into this and taking the time to ask these questions and to really wrestle with what your presuppositions are, I think it really connects back a lot to your vision for life and your vision for the Christian life. Dad, you like to say that there's no such thing as discipline problems, they're vision problems. And some of this relates to what we want to do, what we believe about the gift that we've been given and the gifts we've been given in our lives and how we want to steward those things. The other thing that I would say is that Jesus, he talks about the last days. And he says, because of lawlessness, because of iniquity, the love of many will grow cold. And I believe that we live in that day and age as a culture where the love of many people has grown cold. We're so self-absorbed. We're often so overwhelmed with the issues and the problems of the world. And so I think for many people, you know, they don't get a Christian worldview all at once. They get it issue by issue. They get it area by area. And often what can open this worldview journey in a good way is that God by his Spirit breaks through indifference. I really believe that the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. And frankly, so many of us are just indifferent to a lot of the areas of life. And it's not that we have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, but what I've seen, where I've seen breakthrough, is people who somehow their heart got touched about a type of person, especially people facing a particular issue. I remember for me in this community, my heart got touched in regards to the gang issue. And first of all, I had to repent for my indifference because it was deep. Then I began this journey of getting educated because I knew that ideas had consequences. As love grew in my heart, I had the energy, I had the vision to begin to do the work. And in doing that work and really wrestling with that problem and how it impacted my life with some of the relationships that I had had touched by gangs, but then also being able to think in bigger picture, make application to the type of national and international issues that, Dad, you were referring to earlier. So, yeah, you can be a Christian and have a Christian worldview. But I think that those who are growing in their relationship with Christ are growing in their worldview. And it's really about being able to lean into that process. And that's what we want to do. We want to help people lean into that process, especially for young people. You know, I just think one of the huge lies of the enemy is wait till you're older to get serious about Jesus. Wait till you're older to get serious about the Bible. Wait till you're older to think that you can really make a difference. And that's a lie. And so don't wait till you're older. Start now caring about these things. Start now investigating these things. Start now building your faith.
I want to dive back down to the deeper, lower level. The terminology that is used that goes in front of worldview is when we become self-consciously aware of why we think the way we think. I think practically about my life and really everybody's life that I know of that has gone into these questions. There was some point, hopefully, but certainly by the end of your teenage years, where you begin to ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? What ideas are going on in my mind that make me say things the way that I say them? I'm faced with a whole myriad, you know, thousands of decisions that I've already made, and I face many, many decisions in my future. What are the ideas that are underneath the decisions I make? That is the first question that leads us into building a worldview, is we become anxious to discover what makes me think the way I think and what is the result of me walking out those thoughts. What is that producing in my life? Now you are on your journey to building a worldview. You're beginning to ask the right questions.
One of the benefits for young people in particular, those under 25, for starting this journey now is you are still forming who you are. As we know from science and neurology, the human brain is not fully developed until after 25, things start shifting where these neural pathways in your brain get grooved, they're carved out. And when you are young, that is when you establish your thought patterns. That is when you establish your habits, your ways of perceiving things. So it's a huge benefit as young people for you to be able to start learning this and applying these principles now, because once they get ingrained in your brain, it's a lot harder to change them down the road. And of course, it doesn't mean you can't change them, adults do, but you have a huge benefit as a young person to be able to learn these things now, form these habits, form this healthy way of thinking so that physically, literally, your brain will naturally go to that place when you're faced with a challenge, when you have a question, when you're not clear on something, when you establish these habits in your brain, in your thought process, in your thinking, asking the right questions, understanding the underlying beliefs that are there, it literally will just become, you don't even have to think about it. That's just where your brain goes. And so again, the benefit of having that now sets you up, you know, for so much more success as an adult. One of my favorite quotes is Frederick Douglass, who says, it's easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. So as young people, you have the opportunity here to be built from the get-go and not have to maybe go through some of the hard pain that other adults have had to, or the same level of mistakes and trials and things, because you have the opportunity getting this now to literally wire your brain in a healthier way, in a godly way that's going to allow you to evangelize, that's going to allow you to better live your life and your decision-making, your lifestyle, form those healthy habits now.
I'm sure there are some of you adults, obviously, and parents who are asking the question, what do I do? I'd never heard a worldview. I was not trained in becoming self-consciously aware of my thought process, tracking the way that the results of what I believe. Nobody ever trained me, to think about a results-based life. I want to encourage you, get involved with the course yourself. We need a spiritual revolution in these days, because the worldview of the world is getting more and more evil, more and more powerful, using technology to create worldview in the masses of people who basically have no defense mechanism to examine, are these ideas going to produce what we want in the lives of our children or those that we love and influence? I want to encourage you, dig in. It is not too late.
So, you know, I think that as a parent with four kids, that a huge part of my own journey with God, my own formation, has been parenting my kids, right? It's actually in trying to raise them in the fear of the Lord and help shape and encourage their lives that my life has also been shaped and encouraged. And so, one of the things I love about what Go Strategic does in regards to the schools that we have and the curriculum that we have is it's really designed to be engaged with in a relational process. And we lean into kind of intergenerational relationships. So parents and their kids and, you know, one generation to another. And I think God has designed us and life for that interaction, not only for, you know, the parent or the older generation who knows it all to, you know, give it to the younger generation, but that in making that journey together, that formation is happening for each of us in the different stages of life. And, you know, I've made comments about breakthroughs in Christian worldview really being rooted in love, right? It starts in our hearts in that way. And so, you know, there's no place where we get more traction in growing in our worldview than in wrestling with issues with our kids, the issues they're facing, and helping them think through and face things, not in an academic way, but in a real way. And so I don't think we should feel bad if we're learning right alongside our kids. I think that's there's a gift in that, and there's a joy in that, and there's an opportunity. So, obviously, some of the people who are going through this material may have gone through other material or be aware of this. But if this is your first time, be excited. Don't feel behind. Just take it a step at a time and recognize that it's a journey.
So everyone has to engage these questions and their worldview because they connect to all of our life, right? They connect to everything. We cannot choose to ignore these ideas because life is full of challenges and worldview, the worldview process is a battle. It is a war. It is not easy. It is something we are up against because we are always at war with our flesh. We have the enemy, things that are going on in the world, and we have both the enemies from within and the enemies from without. But we all have got to look at it because it's the reality of life. So there's three stages, places that the worldview battle is fought on. It starts in your heart, the presuppositional level. Then it goes to the evidential level, which is in our mind. And then we go to the application level, which is where it is manifest in our actions and our lifestyle. So we have all three of these levels, which we're going to be learning about and examining through this series. You will notice that it starts with heart. It starts on the presuppositional level and in your heart. Why does this battle start in our heart?
I'm going to say something that can be a little difficult to hear. My heart is biblically the ultimate decider, so to speak, of what kind of a human being I want to be. And while most people may not ask themselves that question from a biblical point of view, and that's why the scripture speaks so much to the heart, much more to the heart than the brain or whatever. God is after our hearts, and in a biblical sense, our heart is the way we answer the question, who do I want to be? What do I want to be? And as Adam has said it several times, it's in our hearts that we have the opportunity to transcend self and selfishness and begin the journey into love. Because what God wants to reproduce in his children, all of us who are believers, he wants to replicate the life and the love of God in us. And what he is asking is, will you allow me by the Holy Spirit to do that? And will you place yourself in a community of believers who want that so that we will be mutually strengthening one another as our hearts are being revealed in the context of community.
You know, we'll, I know this is talked about in some of the teaching sessions, and so we'll explore this further, but, you know, one of the elements in regards to, you know, our heart and its place in our worldview goes back to what my dad was talking about in regards to choice. And, you know, there's a choice maker in our heart. We may back that up with evidence from our mind or other circumstances. You know, there's all sorts of things that may go into a choice. But ultimately, the biggest choices of our life are often made from the heart level. And in a number of the things that we explore, as we're looking at worldview, we recognize that that everyone lives by faith. And so there is this element of things that are not necessarily going to be proved with immediate feedback or science or, you know, the type of things that convince people, but it's really this element of, what is my heart responding to? What is the choice my heart's going to make in regards to what I believe about God? And, you know, we see this in a social framework, right? Where people wrestle in their heart. Maybe they know in the context, you know, we need some examples outside of church as well, but I'm thinking about, you know, in a context where God's tugging on someone's heart and they have an opportunity to respond, maybe to come forward for prayer or something like that, but they're nervous about, you know, what are people going to think around them Their mind might be racing with all of the implications, but ultimately it's their heart that needs to win that decision one way or another. And it doesn't mean that God's not at work if they don't go forward in that way, but it's a great expression of the fact that, you know, there's all sorts of levels and factors that are impacting, you know, the choices we make, but ultimately, like, is this real? Should I respond? You know, is this the pizza I ate last night, or, you know, whatever it is, those things go back to a faith choice of the heart in so many ways. And that sets a trajectory then that we begin to either reinforce or maybe to begin to remove things and strip away to be able to make that choice in a different way.
If I may give a brief history of worldview in my life, I had the privilege of being exposed at Berkeley. I'm an old revolutionary from the 60s in Berkeley. And my academic background, intense background, was in studying worldview and the management of nations and the management of social systems and the management of economics. And I was exposed on that Weltanschauung is worldview in German. And I took those studies seriously because I was knowing that those ideas were going to affect my life. If I had children, which I did, that would affect you. And when I became a Christian, I went into a crisis. And those of you that are adults, I want to identify with you maybe in a crisis that we're bringing to you in something that you have not yet done. I had a very major crisis in a single moment when I realized that all this intellectual knowledge that I had invested in was given to me by the world system. It was Pharaoh who taught me history. It was Pharaoh who taught me psychology. It was Pharaoh who gave me my economic foundation and all those things. And I said, oh my God, what am I going to do? I want to think biblically. I don't want to think the way secular humanism has trained me to think. And that was the crisis which God was waiting for me to get into, of, again, asking the question, Lord, help me. Where do I begin and how do I begin? And that is what I did, is I saw the opportunity. I tried to find anybody and everybody in writing, ask around, how am I going to find people who see these things and can help me? Where do I get discipled at this point? So I want to say to those of you that might be saying, wow, it's too late. I mean, no, it's not too late, especially now. There's more opportunity, especially in things like this course in school that we're offering you. There's way more opportunity right now than I ever had 50 years ago. I mean, you folks are surrounded right now by people, even in Christianity, that are moving deeply into building Christian worldview. So take heart. It's not too late. Jump. Get in.
So one of the reasons why I think what we're investing in with worldview is so important here, and even starting with the heart, is because this isn't just about making right and wrong choices. It's also about developing the design that God's given for all of our lives. And, you know, one of the things that I'm paying attention to in this dynamic is that we want to make sure that people recognize that becoming self-conscious in what you believe and why you believe it is important for your individual life. But I don't want to just only limit it to our individual lives. You know, there are people probably here who from a young age cared about the world, cared about community, cared about society. And one of the things that just grieves me so much is the way that sometimes the gospel, the way that sometimes the church has been limited to God only cares about individual people, and he only cares about if they're going to heaven or not. And so there's this, you know, Dad, you talk about it a lot, where there's this kind of assumption that Christianity is for people's morality. It's for where they are on Sunday morning. But actually, God's fine with the world trying to run the world. But if you love the world, if you actually care about the earth and creation, if you care about society, if you don't want to see homelessness proliferate in your community, if you don't want to, you know, see brokenness in society, you know, it can really be frustrating or disturbing to think, man, you know, I love God, but I also want to make a difference in these areas, and kind of feel like that there's no Christian in those fields, that Christians don't care about art or whatever. And so part of worldview is equipping us to be able to understand God cares about all of that. He has an opinion about all of that. There's a design about all of that. And we not only want to see you be able to engage those issues, but we want you to be able to engage those issues, not just with the love of God, but with the wisdom of God. Yes, so yes, that yes. You can just, so, you know, for a young person, this is also a chance to say, hey, if you thought that Christianity didn't address these issues that you care about, that your friends care about, that they're, you know, tweeting about or whatever, you know, posting around, the issue is, yeah, the Bible addresses that. God cares about it. And if you're feeling drawn to dive into that issue and to give your life to making a difference there, you don't have to leave the church or the kingdom of God to do that. Actually, you're designed to be able to bring truth into those areas.
So in this series, one of the ways we try to kind of simplify all these big philosophical questions that we recognize matter is we put them into what we call the big three, which is, what do you believe about the nature of God, the nature of man, and the nature of truth? Those big three ideas, issues that we have to wrestle with, really all the problems that we're facing today, you can trace back to a belief about one of those three or a combination of the three and some conglomeration. So those three big questions really help us define and understand what is actually going on in everything from a decision that we make to a policy that our country is applying and everything in between. So those three big questions we're going to be pursuing and going after and looking at in the course of this series to help us start thinking that way, to understand that you don't have to be a genius in XYZ area to be able to still discern the heart of the matter and to be able to look at what is actually behind this policy or what is actually behind this decision or this problem. So we try to simplify kind of by looking at those big questions. Why is it important to ask those big questions? And in as short as possible, simple as possible, how would we answer, here's why those three are the most important questions to ask?
And my response to that would be, take this course. Complexity is built on simplicity. Let's say that again. Complexity is built upon simplicity. It's not until we simplify things that we can begin to see their complexity and the proper way by the Holy Spirit to apply them. And the beauty of what you're doing and advocating here is that this course is about identifying what are the basic foundational truths upon which you can build truth that will end up discipling nations, which is really complex. That foundation is laid in dealing with those three foundational questions.
So, you know, I would just say, you know, kind of leaning on some of our content that part of why, you know, those three areas of really examining what our beliefs are, what our understanding and thoughts are, is so key, why those really are at the root of all the other issues. First of all, because God is the source of all things. So it comes back to God as the source. Secondly, that God has designed things to reveal who he is, his heart, and the framework of God's character is unchanging. And so we see truth being expressed into all of life connected to God's character and his design. But then thirdly, when it comes to people, we see that we've been given a really profound and significant role as image bearers. We've been given a very specific place in creation that gives us incredible influence in the way that things go, to bring life or to bring death. And in many cases and in many times, we do bring death because that relationship with God is broken. Fortunately, God saw Jesus as the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. And so even before that brokenness took place, the plan of restoration and reconciliation was in place. So all of those core themes of the gospel that relate to God and us and truth and the world that we're in really are the core themes of worldview. It's just that those roots go out much broader than most people ever considered. And they touch community and they touch the environment and they touch the way that we function and the way that we're designed. So, you know, they're those core principles, because most any issue that we're going to face or look at is going to be rooted in the relationship that we have to God, the relationship that we have to truth, and the choice that we are to make as people being God's image bearers.
So what we're going to be learning and discovering in this series, it is not five easy steps to winning an argument and being a perfect Christian. It is not here's in this way, then you will be clear, X, Y, Z. And it's also not, this is where people are wrong and this is where we are right. Or this is where, you know, if a person believes this, then it means this, but because you believe that, it means this. What we're trying to do here is also look at, when we ask the right questions, we're trying to also understand, again, the heart beliefs, what's underneath it all. And the reality is, because we are complex human beings, it is not a quick fix. This is a process. So what we're talking about here is, unfortunately, like we said, it's not five easy steps and then you're done with this series and you don't have to revisit these ideas again. This is part of our spiritual formation, our ongoing transformation that is necessary if we are going to make an influence on the world and if we are going to grow in our spiritual maturity. Talk to me a bit about this process, about the journey, what it looks like on this worldview journey, on this process of applying these ideas, asking these questions, starting to think differently. What is that process like and what should we expect?
Well, I'm 60 years into it. I know that's hard for me to believe, but it's the foundation which at this point in life allows you to touch a lot of things that you couldn't touch when you were younger. Again, God is trying to lay a foundation, no matter what age you are, upon which he can add more and more potential applications of where those ideas, those truths, those principles that you have learned as a result of your search in the scripture for truth, now allow you to bring transformation, not just to individuals, but to whole groups of people. But it's all dependent upon, did you do your homework? Have you paid your dues? Have you gone through the disappointments? Have you gone through the disillusionments? Have you learned to apply truth the way God wants it applied, not just intellectually? But this is life. This is as good as it gets. And my testimony and my wife's would be many decades and all that we've gone through training in these truths is so, so worth it.
So we talk about this worldview journey, and you know, we have described it as starting in a place maybe of looking at our unconscious assumptions, and so really being influenced, recognizing that, you know, how I might engage with the homeless person at an intersection asking for money. You know, I may not have even really looked that through the lens. I mean, maybe I want to pray for them or help them, but have never even really thought about that type of issue from a Christian standpoint. So, you know, you begin to ask questions, right? And so questions are so important. We talk about being able to answer the big questions of life, but, you know, I think it starts with a lot of reflection. You should expect conviction, you know, this element where our heart gets exposed or where we get challenged with something. And then we recognize that we've built attitudes on assumptions that weren't true. And so there's a whole relational process. But then there's this encouragement that happens as we begin to have conversations, or we're given tools or perspectives where we recognize, oh, wow, that's really good. That makes a difference in my conversation that I've had with someone there, where we realize that we've got a tool that can shape a conversation or make an impact in a situation. And that goes back to what you were talking about also about, you know, our choice then. About how we use the truth or the knowledge that we have. Is it going to puff us up? Are we going to use it as a weapon to beat someone over, you know, the head? I know more than you. And so it's really a life journey, which brings me back in all of those situations to the last point. As you engage with this, this isn't some separate thing to your relationship with Jesus. It's right in the very heart of it. So you should expect God to be involved in the process. You should expect the Holy Spirit to convict you. You should expect the grace of God to be in your life. I remember as I was first going through this content in the course form, I was blown away at how the content of a lesson that I'd been studying that week related directly to the circumstances of my life and conversations I was getting in and things that were being talked about in the news. I could not believe how applicable it was. And a huge part of that was I was in God's training process. God was involved in my life. So it is a journey. It's a journey that's going to be ongoing. But one of the things you can expect is it's actually going to bring you closer to Jesus, not because you're performing better, but because you're actually seeing God present in your life in such a powerful way that it's strengthening your relationship and it's building that foundation of trust.
So another piece that we'll be looking at in this course and that we're hopefully coming to an understanding is that we all start out being influenced. We all start out under the influence of something, the lens of the fallen human nature. And obviously with that journey, we then move from being influenced at one point to being intercepted. Something intercepts us. Something changes our perception. And of course, my mind immediately goes to football, to analogies with interception, right? It was going one direction and then it got caught. And now it's going the other direction. So we start in one place, we're influenced. We then move to interception. Something changes our point of view. We make a move that way. Of course, when we get saved, we're intercepted by the gospel and the lens of fallenness is replaced with the lens of Christ. We then want to move into integration. The problem is many people never quite make it to this stage where they're actually integrating their faith to such a level that it actually changes their lifestyle and their underlying beliefs. But once we actually make it to that point, when we are able to actually integrate what we believe and actually apply it actively to our lives, we then become an influencer. Teenagers, not just an influencer on Instagram, on the gram. We're not just trying to be influencers on the gram. But if we actually are in this journey at a certain point when we've actually integrated it into our lives, it will so naturally then outflow from us that we are influencers and we are impacting those that are around us. We are influencing not only ourselves, but our sphere of influence that goes beyond us, that goes into our family, our friends, our neighborhood, our community, our church. Now, if we have been through these materials, what are kind of our next steps?
now that we've been exposed to this, to really make it real and apply it?
So ultimately, for me in this journey, it came to the question of Jesus, I want to think like you. I'm not just on a journey to heaven. I'm on a journey to knowing God, because I've placed myself in his hands, and his passion, punctuated by death on a cross, that is his statement as to how much he cares that his people will begin to live life the way he lives life. This is not about going to heaven, although we do. This is about knowing God and letting him share his life with us so that we can replicate in the same way he replicates.
So there's an assumption that's in the scriptures that maturity is better than immaturity. And, you know, not everyone in life feels that way, but I think it's true. And so, you know, what I would say as we look to the future and say, okay, what now? What next? That the author of Hebrews, who's talking about the fact that maturity is better than immaturity, says, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have learned to discern, you know, good and bad, life and death. So, you know, my thing would be practice. And we just get opportunities every day. And part of that practice just builds our stamina, right? Because it's hard to stay discerning, right? But it's practicing as you read the newspaper or listen to the news or scan it online or whatever, to not take off your worldview filter all the time, but actually pay attention. Say, what's going on? What's the agenda behind this? Who are the experts? Who's the panel of experts that this reporter is relying on, or this columnist is relying on, you know, all of those sorts of things. So practice. That is the great way to develop discernment in this process. It's the great way to become mature. And as we do that, we're able to fellowship with God and to help others. And it just opens up so many doors. So that whole journey to maturity, it comes through application.
Very good. Well, we are so grateful for all of you who have joined us in this series. We are excited for what we believe the Lord is going to continue to do in you and through you. I just want to encourage you, one of the ways that we kind of look at this worldview journey, because it is a journey, is kind of with the analogy of being on a mountain. You're climbing a mountain, right? Life, we could say, is like that. There's mountains and valleys and such with life. But as you go up the mountain, you're going to continue to grow. And as you ascend the mountain, as you climb, your perspective is going to change. There is a journey that you are on. So at one point, when you are at this particular vista of the mountain, you may have an amazing view of the valley below. And then as you ascend higher, then all of a sudden it's foggy, right? And it's cold, and you've got a totally different perspective now, or an additional perspective, because you're now in this different position on the mountain. And as you continue to travel up the mountain in the seasons of our lives, you're going to gain perspective. You're going to see different things that maybe you weren't able to see before. But to be encouraged at that journey, that is maturity, that is ongoing spiritual transformation, formation, and that it is an ongoing process. And what is wonderful, as we continue on that journey, we are going to continue to grow in our understanding. We will grow in wisdom, and we will be able to see what God has for us next, and then hopefully be able to share it with others, help them to grow, pull them alongside with us, and to be encouraged that, again, it is a journey. It will not, as we said before, be five easy steps, but rather it's a privilege to be on that ongoing journey. Because as my father had said earlier, you know, our goal is not just to go to heaven and to just be a good person and what have you. But our goal is to actually have communion with Him, with God, to learn to be more like Him, to think like Him. And that's a process. That's a journey. And that's what we're really about here in this series, is helping us continue to grow, to think that way, to be on that journey, to be excited for it. It's not easy, but it's necessary if we really want to make an impact. We want to continue to grow closer to the Lord and all that He has for us. Thank you very much. Lord bless you.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.